The Francis Young Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College is now presenting the critically acclaimed exhibition Like Sugar, which explores the problematic and joyful aspects of sugar from multiple points of view to broaden our understanding of how the multi-layered substance affects us. Tonight, in conjunction with the exhibit, the Tang's Accelerator series of talks on urgent issues is presenting Food Futures, Food Justice, Sustainability, and Well-Being, with special guest Kate Daudrill, an artist and urban farmer from Detroit, Anthony Hatch, a Wesleyan University professor whose book Blood Sugar critiques how scientists and drug companies use race and ethnicity, and Leah Penniman, who is a farmer, activist, and author from Grafton, New York. In the studio with us today to tell us all about the exhibit and tonight's event, we welcome our dear friend Ian Berry, the Dayton director of the Tang Teaching Museum, and Rachel Seligman, the Molloy curator and a co-organizer of the Like Sugar exhibition. Rachel, Ian, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you back on the program.
Great to see you, Joe.
Thank you very much. All right. Ian, let us begin with you of how all this came to be and how long have you been thinking about sugar?
Well, we were very fortunate that a beloved professor at Skidmore, Sarah Goodwin, a frequent collaborator with us at the museum, came to us with an idea for an exhibition and a series of events around the complex ideas and histories about sugar. And that got us all thinking, and a lot of us around the museum started imagining the possibilities for that. And Rachel organized a group of fantastic faculty colleagues from a wide variety of disciplines to think about how sugar impacted their work, their teaching, their thinking, their lives, and that emerged into an exhibition that we have up now, and it looks fantastic.
So give us a sense of the input that you got from your colleagues and ultimately how that came to what you put on the walls and in the gallery space.
Well, we have a really lovely group of an interdisciplinary group with an English professor, a biology professor, an environmental studies professor, a studio art professor, and having that range of disciplines is really, really valuable when it comes to conceiving of and exploring the different ways that a show might come together. So thinking about sugar from a biological and behavioral direction, thinking about the way that sugar is inherently a source of energy, that it's a natural substance, and the ways that our impulse towards consuming sugar really comes from that place, and then the ways that our cultural and social behaviors have expanded that impulse and created the kind of vast industry around sugar marketing and consumption that we find ourselves in now.
So how does that ultimately work itself into the art that you display in the exhibit and the artists who are represented?
So one of the things that's so wonderful about making these kinds of interdisciplinary exhibitions is that we are combining in the same space contemporary art by an amazing range of artists from around the globe, but we're combining that with historical artifacts, historical artworks, and material culture, so things from the world around us, and putting those things in conversation with each other. So advertisements, you know, print advertisements, implements that are used in the consumption and processing of sugar, along with artworks by amazing contemporary artists like Kara Walker or Vic Muniz, then we can see the relationship between the things we live with and the way that artists are exploring and interpreting those objects and ideas. And we can have these really rich conversations in the gallery about the impact of sugar on our lives.
This may be a difficult question to answer, but in most cases of the art that was created, was it conscious on the artist's mind to address sugar?
Well, without speaking for
yes.
Any particular artist, I would say...
But wouldn't that be fun?
Here, let me tell you what they were thinking. I would say that it's very often the case that it's conscious, and it's clear in some works, like Maria Magdalena Campos Pons' piece, Sugar Bittersweet, where she is really exploring the legacy of the sugar industry in Cuba and that impact on the Cubans as a whole, but her in particular, her own heritage as the descendant of slaves and laborers on those very sugar plantations. So in many cases, it's very clear. In others, it might not be so clear. But to us as the curators, the work speaks very much to some of the important issues around sugar. And so bringing it into that context and putting it in dialogue with these other works teases out the way that you might understand that work to be specifically about sugar, sweetness, desire, some of these other topics that we're
It's a very
exploring.
Charged gallery where you have works like Julia Jacquet, who's using images of sweets and sugars as a metaphor for seduction and desire and unmet, in some cases, desires or wanting. And around the corner, work by Kara Walker revealing and indicting many of us in the history of slavery and how that has impacted the sugar industry and what we're living with right now in our country. So the gallery is loaded with ways to move in and around these topics with great provocation. It's fantastic.
It would seem like this is almost one of those exhibits that you have to put a cap on of where to stop.
Very much so. You know, you start by gathering as broad a range of ideas about what might be in the show, what kinds of objects, and when you're dealing with not only contemporary art but with material culture, the list can get very long. You know, should there be a gumball machine? Should there be,
Always.
Should we make...
Like you have here in the
broadcast
room. Yeah, absolutely.
So it really does, as a team, and that's why it's so wonderful to have such a smart and incredibly thoughtful team, you have to then start to winnow away and sort of focus your show and create a show where every single thing that's going to be in it is going to contribute in some really important and useful way to this conversation that you're creating among the objects.
When it comes to the event that's happening tonight, before we talk about that specifically, let's talk a little bit about the Accelerator series and what that allows you to do and how it's just perfect when you have exhibits like this.
Oh, phenomenal. So we started the Accelerator series 2 years ago, and tonight is the 10th and actually the final panel in this iteration of the Accelerator series. It was an initiative funded by the Mellon Foundation to help us explore ways to increase museum accessibility and diversity around our collection. And we have brought over 30 amazing guests to Skidmore to illuminate topics like whiteness and migration, mass incarceration, cultural appropriation, citizenship. The last one was on forgiveness, where we're gathering
all the easy ones.
Yeah, and these are topics that transcend just our classrooms at the college and our galleries at the museum, but are things we're talking about at dinner tables and affect political futures. We're so pleased to gather people around some tough topics. Our curator at large, Isolde Brillmeyer, has been fantastic in gathering people from the art world, the fashion world, journalism, academia, all different kinds of worlds, and bringing them together in conversation. In this way, it makes the museum as much a town square as we want it to be. And tonight's is a fantastic example of that, where we have artists, farmers, academics in conversation about how food and justice connect. Food is arguably the most basic and necessary powerful aspect in our daily lives. And because of that, it's been used to powerful effect with regard to access and health. And I presume that our panel will address that.
Food futures, food justice, sustainability, and well-being. How much of it do you want just to be a conversation to take on a life of its own, or do you want it to reflect what you are showing in the exhibit that is running through June 23rd?
Well, we do imagine these panels as catalysts for our community to gather, catalysts for all different kinds of people, so not just our students and our faculty, for people from the region to come together and dialogue, debate, learn, critique, express ideas. And so we like the idea that the galleries and the artwork that we have on view are part of those catalysts for those dialogues. And we hope that these panel discussions have lots and lots of reverberations and emanations and continue on in different ways in reaction to the things on view in the gallery, but also outside of the museum in our community.
When you're putting these together, I assume you think of that too, of how these things will be ripe for conversation at some point.
Absolutely, yeah. And in addition to tonight's event, we have a whole series of events that are inspired by and are kind of intended to be to tease out additional threads with the exhibition. For example, on Tuesday, March 26th, we have Michael Twitty, who's an award-winning food blogger and culinary historian and author, coming to campus. That was arranged, again, in conjunction with the Like Sugar exhibition, and I'll be in dialogue with him at lunchtime on this, on these ideas around the power of sugar and the history of sugar.
Is it a bring your own sweets?
Sweets provided. Always sweets provided.
As far as organizing and putting all this together, is everything an ask, or do you have some stuff, or how does that work of bringing it all together?
It's a combination for sure. We always look to see what we have in our collection that speaks to the theme, the subject. And this exhibition has a few things in it from our collection. And then we look around to our colleagues, our institutional colleagues, artists, gallerists, and we request objects that we want and think will be ideal to include in the exhibition. So it's a combination of all of those things.
That's one of the most fun parts of making these exhibitions with our faculty and student colleagues, is sitting around early on and listing dream objects,
right,
that people might imagine or think of that we might bring to the museum.
So we have about a minute and a half left, but let me just ask. So if you say, okay, we want a sugar cane cutting tool, great. Where do you find that? Now what?
Right. So then you begin to look around and you think about the museum colleagues that you know, and the museums in areas that would be likely to have that. In our case, we looked to museums in Louisiana, and were lucky enough to borrow some objects both from the Louisiana State University Rural Life Museum and the West Baton Rouge Museum and Historical Society. So cane cutting knives from there, a sugar boiling vat from LSU, and we bring all of these things together. And then they can have this sort of wonderful life in the museum alongside, objects by contemporary artists.
So Like Sugar is on display through June 23rd. The event, Food Futures, Food Justice, Sustainability, and Well-Being as part of the Accelerator Series, happens tonight at 6 o'clock at the Tang. To find out more information about all of this, you can go to tang.skidmore.edu, tang.skidmore.edu. And before I let Ian go, what else do you have coming down the pike that we should put on our calendar?
Well, if you love what you hear tonight, and I know you will, you can come back tomorrow at 5 o'clock, where Kate Dodrill is going to lead us in a smell share She has distilled smells from various locations at Skidmore and at her own Burnside Farm in Detroit.
We do that at lunchtime. Mike and I usually do that, right? Smell share? Yeah.
So she will deepen our understanding and experience of place through smell.
Artist and urban farmer Kate Dodrill. Again, you can find out more information by going to tang.skidmore.edu. Always fascinating what you put before us, and I thank you so much for sharing with us and for the beautiful work that you do.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it, Joe. As always. Again, to learn more information, go to tang.skidmore.edu. My thanks to Ian Berry and Rachel Seligman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.